We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and everywhere.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our sister in Christ, Miss Mary Fullerton. How are you doing this morning, Miss Mary?
I'm just doing great.
We appreciate you picking up the call and coming in for us this morning on a real short notice.
Yes.
We really appreciate you.
God is faithful.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company with Christian values. If you would like to be put on the wheel for the blessing book for the month of March, all you have to do is like, share, and comment, done. The book for this month is Pray Big for Your Child by Will Davis Jr. And you do not have to limit those prayers to just your children. Today is Thursday. We will have a word from Pastor White through the Truth broadcast. He is not in the building, however, we do have a word. And the word for his message for today is going to be titled Taste and See. So after the program is over, we will end this, and then we'll reset the iPad and get it set back up and come back with the word from Pastor Dwight with the Truth Broadcast. Hallelujah, God's faithful.
Amen.
No notes. That's my God, the yeah. living God. Hey, if he can help me remember all that, he can help you too, I promise.
Yes.
Would you please be so kind and pray for us this morning before we start?
Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, that we can do nothing without you, Lord, because your word says, without me, ye can do nothing. Lord, we do not come in our own works of righteousness, but we lean totally upon you this morning. We ask you, Father, for your anointing upon your word. And put your anointing on our ears that we will hear. And, Lord, that we will, that you would seal this word to our hearts, Lord, because it's a vital word that can help us, Lord, as we live our lives daily for you. And it'll make us, and it'll make us strong in our weaknesses, Lord. And so we look to you because you are the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. I like your title. Who is your example when things get tough?
Yes. And as I was saying, this came out of a church service that I was at last night. When I got the call asking me to come in this morning, I said, Lord, what do you have for me to give them? And he brought back this conversation. And it was basic things that we need to do as Christians to maintain our walk with God. Some of the important things we do. And so this gets into looking unto Jesus to be our author and finisher of our faith. It looks unto him for us not to just keep our eyes on the circumstances around us, but we know that he is our victor and that we have the victory through him. And so he suffered, you know, he suffered when he was on this earth. And he said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. So, you know, because we are His, and because we are His, that persecution comes to us, and we have to know how to handle it. So that's where we're going with this, because Christ suffered, leaving us an example to follow. And I'm going to start off with a scripture in 1 Peter 2, verses 20 through 24. And it says, "For what glory is it, if when you are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Past tense. He did a finished work on that cross for us. And if we accept what he did and stand on it, then we can receive healing, whether it's emotional healing, whether it's physical healing, you know. And sometimes the enemy, the war is in our brain. The enemy attacks our thought processes, and he wants us to think on the negative and lose sight of our faith in God. So we're not ignorant of his devices, you know, because God reveals them to us. And so we know that Jesus came to do the will of the Father. John 5:30 says, Jesus said, "I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." John 6:38-40 says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So, see, he is the forerunner for us. He came and suffered so that we could have victory through him. And so we need to look to him to be that author and finisher of our faith, and not lean to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him. And he will direct our paths. And so in Matthew 26:39, Jesus prayed this in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross. He was living in a fleshly body just like we are. And he said, "Oh, Father, if it be possible." See, he knew what he came to do. And he knew what he was going to have to suffer. And any person in their flesh would draw back from that, you know. But he had to go through everything like we, the Bible says he suffered in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He did that so he could be an intercessor for us. And so he said, "Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And we pray that sometimes. "Lord, can you rescue us out of this mess? Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." John 18:11. He said, "The cup which my Father has given me shall I not drink it? And I would say this, that when we go through a trial, when Jesus takes us, if we say, Lord, help me through this, instead of, Lord, get me out, when we go through something, he becomes dearer to us. We become nearer to him because he reveals to us in a greater way that who he is, that he is able to keep us in all things. And it makes us love him more. You know, but if we're always asking to be rescued out, then we're just going to have to go through that trial again. So if you want to get through things fast, say, Lord, help me through this to keep my eyes on you and help me to be victorious in you so that I don't have to go through this again, because I don't want to have to do do-overs.
Help me learn what I need to learn.
Yeah. So anyway, Jesus said his, you hear this phrase a lot. There is a scripture in the Bible, and I couldn't find it last night. Jesus said, he says, talk about set your face as a flint toward God. Set your face as a flint. Jesus set his face as a flint to do the will of the Father. A flint is a massive, hard quartz stone. You've heard of people that have a hard heart, you know, and everything. And you look at people sometimes and their faces look just like a stone face, you know. And so that's the way we need to be in our determination to live for the Lord. That nothing is going to deter us, you know. But we're going to do, leaning on him, we can do it. Without him, we can't do nothing. But leaning on him, he will see us through. So Jesus was that determined to do God's will no matter what the price. Where would we be if he hadn't paid that price? We would be lost. The whole world would be lost. We would be lost. And then in Hebrews 10, verses 7 and verse 10, says, then said I, it's talking about Jesus, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And then verse 10 says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. The Lamb of God, he is the Lamb of God sent to take away the sins of the world. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus. He is the door into heaven. And then in Hebrews 12:3, I told somebody, I said, I would rather give the word of God, because you know if it comes from the word that it's the truth and it's just not my opinion. And so I give you word. God gave me these scriptures last night. He just led me to so many scriptures that I couldn't even include them all. You know, but you know, this will be a strength to somebody. So even if you can't, at least get the reference so you can look them up later. So Hebrews 12:3. For consider him, consider Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is making intercession for us, and that is in Hebrews 7:25, where he said he makes intercession for us. Jesus said in John 15:20, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you." The early disciples were beaten and told not to speak in the name of Jesus. That was in Acts 5:41. And it says, "And they departed from the presence of the council after they had been beaten, rejoicing." Now see, I want to get to this place where I can rejoice. "Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." We can't do that without him. We can't, but Acts 5:41, "They departed from the presence of the council rejoicing they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." And, that gets Jesus' attention. The first martyr was Stephen. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says that Jesus stood up. He was seated at the right hand of the Father. But when Stephen was stoned, he stood up to receive him into heaven. He stood up. It got God's attention because Stephen was standing for him. And so that's just free. I didn't have that written down. Anyway. So, God takes notice of us when we are faithful, when we go through suffering. He said, "That's my child down there. I never leave them or forsake them. They may feel like I have, because I remember when I went to the cross, I said, 'Father, why have you forsaken me?' And he said, "But I don't ever leave them or forsake them. I'll never leave you or forsake you." If we turn away and we walk away from him, that's different. But still, he follows us even when we turn away. Because he continually calls us back. He never gives up on us. He doesn't throw the clay away. Aren't you glad he doesn't throw us away? Because we are full of fleshly tendencies sometimes, and we yield to the wrong thing at times. But his love is an everlasting love. Matthew 5:10-16 said, Jesus said, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Law. There's a little song that I used to sing as a little kid, and you've probably heard it. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. We are his hands and his feet and his mouth in this world. And we have to live our faith before men. Matthew 5:44. I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? And verse 48 says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. And, you know, we cannot do this in our own strength. We have to do it through Jesus. He says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And he's there. We'll just call, Lord, I need your help. Abba, Father, I need you. He'll be right there. You know, sometimes he doesn't work on our timetable, but he's always right on time. He won't leave us comfortless, but he will come to our defense. Aren't you glad that he's on our side? I tell people all the time, God's on your side. He's just waiting to hear from you. And they get this look on their face like, God is waiting to hear from me? I mean, you could just see it written all over their face. Yeah, God wants us to, he wants to help us. He's just waiting, you know, for us to call on him. And so, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:9, that'll come a little bit later. In Philippians 3:8, I said that first, and then I found this other scripture. Philippians 3:8, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10 says, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Listen to those words. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And then our goal is in verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And verse 13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. how loving and faithful he must be because he's still working on me. Yeah, he's still working on me. And then now we come to 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And verse 10 says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities. It takes a strong person in God, in his power and in his might to do this, to take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For his strength is made perfect in my weakness. And so, anyway, I think that's a pretty good place to stop.
Okay.
By the